And so I feel like, you know, we just getting to know each other, but I feel like we're good friends already. I don't know. That's just me. And, you know, it doesn't take me long to figure out I like somebody. You know what? Don't let it. I'm only here for today, tonight. Don't take the whole time to figure out, do you like me or not? Let me tell you. You like me. You like me. And if you got to know me, you would. Pastor mentioned some of the books and some of the writing. We actually brought that, some of that, whatever they sent. I say they, people that help us, whatever they sent is out there, but I think most of our titles are out there. Can I just share a little bit of it? Yes. I take just a minute, not long, but I take just a moment to share that because this has turned into a huge part of our assignment and our ministry. And that's a wild thing. If you saw my report cards from English class in high school, it wasn't A's, honey. It wasn't B's. I passed by the skin. You know what I'm talking about? I got D's in English. You might say, I don't want your books. Well, how many know God can take somebody like that? You want to know something interesting? Oh, by the way, let me tell you this. Okay, a couple things. Items of business. I don't have any notes that I'm going from here today. So I need your participation and your help believing with me. Amen, that we do the right thing. But one item of business. If you're a guest here today and this isn't normally your church, do not judge this church based on what I do or say here. Okay? Disclaimer, you will like the pastor. So you got to come back when they're ministering. All right? I always say, and then to the members, don't get mad and leave the church based on anything I do or say. Come back, let the pastor run you off personally, okay? We'll do good enough. So yeah, I had to say that. Praise the Lord. But anyhow, the books have ended up being kind of a real big thing for us. And like I said, God gets involved, you know. Here I was a Jewish young man, as the pastor talked about. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, by the way, I told you I'd forget. So if you're wondering when is the sermon, it could be right now. I don't know. Okay. Cause, the way God works with me is I just try to fill up and let him draw out what's it. So don't sit there and disengage now thinking that I'm going to hit the start button later. This might be it. Okay. So I had to say that too. Anyhow, what was I saying before I interrupted myself twice? Yeah, I was Jewish. So, you know, a Jewish young man struggled in school. But they would put me in the advanced classes because they said, well, you know, he's got the capacity. He's got the whatever gets you in those classes. But I couldn't put, how many ever understand what it's like? You just couldn't get things, like I couldn't get the homework done. Things like that. I just couldn't make it work. Have you ever tried to make life work on your own and found out it doesn't work? Amen. Maybe that wasn't you, but I'm telling you that was me. And I'm just struggle. I got born again in between high school and college. And when I went to college, I took a test, passed it. I'd gotten saved. The life of God came in me. I took a test, passed out of the entire first semester and got straight A's from then on. Not because I got smarter, but because the God factor, you know, God awakened some things that were missing in me. Amen. And how many know if we'll look to him, he'll do that for all of us. And so, this, don't think this is D English writing. Okay. We've improved. Glory to God with God's great help. One of the first books, and I just want to share a couple of these titles with you. One of the first books the Lord dealt with me to write. In fact, he moved me across the country. When I say moved me, I'm not talking about sent me on a trip. I'm talking about had us pack up everything, leave the church where we were in New York, and actually move to another part of the country for 9 months to show me some things to write a book. Now, that's wild, but we did it. We obeyed him. This book's called What Happened to Honor? And it talks about this. There's things that God wants to do among his people and in the world that he can't. And the reason he can't do some of the things he wants to do is that not everybody recognizes certain things that are important. Amen. And I'll just leave it at that. You can get the book if you're interested in what those things are. But how many know that the reason God can't do something should never be us. Can I get an amen from? Okay, y'all, we ain't going to be quiet here today. Can I just tell you that? This is not going to be quiet, church. If your pastors are nice and sweet and quiet, that's fine. I'm the bull in the china shop. You know what I mean? If we're going to praise God, we're going to praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So that's this. Anybody want this book right here called What Happened to Hannah Good? It'll be at the table out in the back. You can buy it out there. You know, I do that because, listen. You might think that's mean. Sorry, I know I need this. You might think that's mean. I give away way more than I sell. Okay? And by the way, if you buy the paperback copy, you can actually download the e-version for free. And there's another actually truth. That's only a half truth. The whole truth is, even if you don't buy it, you could download the other one for free. So help yourself. But we just charge for these, and they're out there. Anyhow, so that's part one of my teaching on honor. But there's actually a part two that a lot of people don't know it's connected, but it's this book called Assembled Together, The Power of the Local Church. I wish every church member would. In fact, there have been many pastors over the years. This is probably, I don't know, 15 years old, but there's been many pastors over the years that have ordered these for every person in their church. We don't sell a ton of them because people think, well, I have a church. I have a church. Why do I need a book about the church? I have one. Well, how many know you could have something and only be getting 20% of the benefit, 30% of the benefit, right? You're looking at me like, brother, don't you know where you are? You're at Believer's Fellowship. This is Alvin, Texas. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about believers, you know, in Pasadena. Come on now. Do you know that you could have a pastor and you could only be receiving 30% of the benefit of that pastor? So this really is honor for the local church and the pastor's office. And I just dare you to buy it. And by the way, any of these books, like if you get it and you just think this is horrible, this is no good, just we'll give you your money back. You can even keep the book. All right. Just email us. We've never had anybody do it, but I'm talking about if they don't change your life. Praise the Lord. Some of you look like you're about to get up and walk out. Like, who did these pastors invite? I already told you, don't judge nothing based on me, okay? But God will show up today. Don't you worry. You don't think we're not going to have a good service, do you? Oh, we already have. We already have. Yeah. So, yeah, if you write and say the book just didn't do it for me, I don't like it, I'll tell you, okay, read it again. And then after you read it again, if it didn't change your life, just ask me for your money back. We'll PayPal you the money back, something like that, okay? Praise the Lord. And you can keep the book. Put your drink on it. Do whatever you want. Anyhow, a couple of our books, I don't know, four or five of them are actually in a 30-day devotional format. And this one, God dealt with me to start writing this 2 weeks before COVID came to our country. And it was a book on fear called Fearless, 30 Days of Boldness, Freedom, and Greater Faith. Well, as I'm writing this 2 weeks into it, all fear broke loose. And I'm, you talk about getting motivated. I'm like, bless God, we're getting this book out. You know what I mean? So this has been real popular for us. You know, how many know fear can be subtle, right? It's not always terror, you know, it can just be subtle. And this will help you identify it and then put your foot to it and get it out of your life because it doesn't belong to you. Fear doesn't belong to you. And then this one is called Healed, 30 Days of Health, Life, and Strength. Woo, that's good. And then our newest one, we have 20 of them, okay? So this is the last one we're going to talk about here, this service. But our newest one is called By Grace, The Message of God's Extravagance and How It Changed Me. And the message of grace in the Bible really has revolutionized my life. So those will bless you. They're out there if you want them. If not, we're going to ship them on to the next place. But, you know, if I was you, you do you. But if I was you, I'd just buy them all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What you all want to do now? Glory to God. Will you flow with me?
Yes.
Can we follow God this morning? Yes. Do what he wants to do? Amen. I'm going to know he's real. I'm going to know he's here. How do I say it? He wants us to be able to interact with him in very meaningful ways, very tangible ways, and really get to the point that when you come to church, you're not just coming, of course, to just say, I attended, right? You're not coming just to say, okay, I was there. But to come and actually have what I call tangible experience with God, to where you get to the place where there's so much of him in you that it gets difficult to tell when you stop and he begins. And we need to get there. We need to get there. And you might say, how do you know we're not there? Well, I've been talking to you for 5 minutes already. I can tell that you know, of course, some of us may be at different places. All of us are probably at different places spiritually, right? But we can all come up, can't we? Can we all come up? So what if I said, what if I had a stand up? You'd be okay standing up? Okay, stand up. Simon Says, stand up. Did anybody used to play Simon Says? I lose at that all the time. I don't like deception games where there's always a trick. If I ask you a question, there's no trick answer, right? So can we just lift our voice? I know the music's not playing anymore. That's all right. Can we just lift our voice to God and praise him a little bit? Maybe close your eyes. What I like to say it this way, just kind of draw a circle around you and God. Forget that anybody else is here. And can we just lift our voice to him like we're not ashamed of him? Maybe even lift your hands if you want to lift your hands. But let's just do that if we can do that. Father, we're so grateful for you. Oh, thank you, Father. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. Thank you, Master. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. 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 Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's good, y'all. That's good. You may be seated. You may be seated. I don't know if you were like me. There was a time I was not comfortable with that. Like that was, I would have been like, why so loud? Anybody else? You're going to be honest this morning? Anybody else that we'll just say it used to be you because you just did it. Okay. So now you're comfortable. That used to be you. I remember this. I got saved. It was radical for a Jew to say yes to Jesus because, man, you're risking your whole family turning on you. And thank God that didn't happen with me. Matter of fact, all of my family has seen the change in my life, followed us in and serving God, you know. So glory to God for that. But, you know, I didn't get plugged into a church as soon as I should have. I really didn't know you were supposed to. Honest truth. I didn't grow up in church. So, but when I finally got plugged into church, well, I went to a good church of a particular denomination. They loved me. That's really all I cared about. I didn't know if their doctrine was good or their doctrine was bad because I didn't know what doctrine was, you know. I just knew that they loved me. And so, you know, I was so glad to be saved. I was so glad to be serving God. But I started hanging around some friends in college. My friend Rock, his name was Robert, but his nickname was Rock. Rock and my friend Lisa at the University of Miami in Coral Gables, Florida. So y'all think it's hot here. Well, it's hot there too. And they were what we called back then, we just called them charismatics. Anybody heard of a charismatic Christian? Yes. I think you are one if you go here, right? I think you might be one. So they were charismatics. And I'm telling you, they irritated me, man. Because the church I went to, we were not that. We were not that. In fact, somebody came and during a praise and worship, we sang hymns. I asked, okay, so one time, I was a music major at the University of Miami in Florida, jazz performance major. And So they had this cool organ at the church. It was not like a Hammond, it wasn't like a B3 organ. It was a like high church organ, you know. So I asked the pianist, all we had was a piano player, and I asked her one time, I said, could I play that, try that organ sometime? Because I like trying stuff. So she said, sure, come Wednesday night, come before the service. So I came and she let me play the organ. Well, just then the pastor walked in and he came over because I had never heard the organ because nobody ever played it. So I just wanted to see what it was like. So I'm up there playing and I'm fooling around. I'm goofing around on it. Okay. Not really. I'm not trained as an organist at all. So I'm sitting there playing with it and the pastor walks in and he said, glory to God, you're our new organist. And I wanted to say, I don't play the organ, but he walked out. He didn't ask me, will you be our new organist? He said, glory to God, you're our new organist. And you know what? From that point on, I was the organist. I was the church organist. And I was there for every, you know, for every service early enough to go through the hymns. And what I would do, Pastor, because I told you, we'd have these hymn books. They'd have a line of music. They'd have what we call the treble line or treble staff. And then they'd have all these four or five stanzas of lyrics. And then the bass staff. I just was not trained in that. I couldn't make heads or tails of that. So I would look at it, see what it was. And I just write chord symbols over the top of it. That's all I did. So anyhow, why was I saying that? Listen, you know, you got to help me when I get lost in my stories and forget why I was saying that. Huh? Yeah. We didn't even call it praise and worship. It was, we'd go through the hymns and everybody was just quiet as a mouse. Almost like it is in here right now. Like nothing. Well, I remember there was this one guy who started coming to the church and he would lift his hands during the music and just worshiping God. And everybody else would be staring at him. Because he's like the only one doing that. And so finally the pastor got up and said, you know, really, you shouldn't lift your hands in the service because that draws attention to you. Well, pastor, no disrespect, but how many know if everybody was doing it with their eyes on Jesus, then it wouldn't be drawing attention to just one person. So don't listen. I'm not going to ask for personal testimonies, but if anyone's ever got irritated because somebody was praising God too loud, you know who's wrong? You. You're the one that's wrong. The one that gets irritated. Huh? Am I doing okay? All right? If I see you look down and sweating, I'll get concerned. All right? Praise the Lord. So anyhow, my charismatic friends, I had to hang out with them because they were the only ones I knew who were on fire for God. And so I'm hanging out with them, and I remember in the music school, they had the gospel choir. It was just a volunteer thing, and they did this concert, and I went to the concert. I wanted to hear this gospel music. Man, I love Jesus. I was so glad to be born again when I got saved. And so there I was, and we went to this concert, and there's Rock in the doorway with his hands lifted up. I'm thinking, why he got to do that? Why has he got to draw? Because I heard my pastor say, well, that draws attention to you. And I'm looking over at him thinking, why has he got to do that? And what I didn't realize was he wasn't doing that to draw attention to himself. He was doing that because he was free enough to do that. And so many people, it's been my experience that so many people will say, well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with all that, you know, with all that lifting your voice. What we just had you stand up and do. Folks will say, well, I'm just not comfortable with that. Just not comfortable. Just look straight ahead. Nobody will know who we're talking to. Praise the Lord. The thing, I didn't ask you, how many church members do you want left by the time I'm done? No. Oh, you want them all? Okay, they want to keep you all. All right. So, hallelujah. The only thing is, people say, I'm just not comfortable with all that raising your voice. But you do it at home all the time. If you just do in church like you do to your husband. Come on, if you just do Folk will raise their voice. Huh? I don't know. What is it y'all like around here? Some churches, I use sports illustrations, and some churches I go to, I realize this is not going to work. Because there's this one church, man, I tried basketball, I tried football, I tried baseball, illustrations, you know, when I'm preaching. And they're looking at me like, we don't know what you're talking about. My God, you have all these teams here in your town. But as soon as I realized, hunting, fishing, boom. Oh, no, hunting, fishing, and cars. They're in. They're all in. So I don't know what it is with you guys. Trucks. Yeah. But I pastored for 11 years in the Buffalo, New York region, actually in the town of Orchard Park, New York, which is home to a football team called the Buffalo Bills. They're a good football team now. They were not good the whole time I was there. And I actually lived next door to an offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills. And we would come home from church on Sunday, and a lot of times we'd look on our doorstep underneath a planter were tickets to the game. And they were good tickets, but they were always like either on the 50-yard line or up in the box. And he would bless us all the time. Well, we get home from church like, you know, maybe 12:30. Game starts at 1 o'clock, but we're right there in town. And then we look up in the sky, see what the weather's like, because Buffalo, you know. Praise the Lord. God called us there, so that's where you go. So anyhow, we're like, yeah, the weather's nice. So we'd get changed, and we'd hustle over. We had a church member who lived right across from the stadium entrance, and she said, park there anytime you want. That's the same one that told me I was a bad piano player. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so we would go there. And every once in a while, not like it is today where they score all the time, but every once in a while, the quarterback would throw the ball downfield and a receiver would catch it. And that receiver would just run like a bat out of Buffalo. You know what I'm talking about? And he'd run and he'd get in the end zone. And when he did, the music would crank up. The Bills make me want to shout, kick your heels up and shout. And they'd do that. And the whole place, everybody at the place, we'd just jump in and we'd start doing, the Bills make, let's go Buffalo, let's go Buffalo, the Bills make me wanna, y'all don't know that song down here? What are y'all, Texans fans maybe? Okay, I got you. But see, that's what they do. And it didn't happen often back then that they'd score. But I'm telling you, when they did, man, that place came unglued. And people who, if you got them in church, they'd say, well, that's too loud. I'm not comfortable with that. That's weird. That's strange. That's what I said about my charismatic friends. I like hanging out with you because you really love Jesus, but the stuff you do is weird. Why you got to do that? Why you got to do it? Why you got to shout why you got to act like a fool when they score in the football game? Yeah. Huh? Why you got to do that? Because I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. Right? That's why they do that. I'm about to lose. Could you take people to the club? Tell me what you want. What you come in, right? They'll come out. You get them in. You get somebody in the environment they're comfortable in. Then all of a sudden, they'll give full expression to the most stupid things you ever see. I mean, we crossed the white line into the end zone. Cause for major celebration. If you get folk in the environment, you might say, is this a sermon? It's not what I thought it was going to be. But this is where this is the sermon. I'm probably like halfway through, so now's the time. You get people in the environment they're comfortable in, they'll become responsive. So when we find ourselves in a spiritual environment, all of a sudden people think, well, okay, that's weird. That's weird. Why is it not weird at the basketball game? Today's game 7. Did you know today's game 7 of the NBA Finals? I'm sorry, the Rockets aren't in it, y'all. They fell out about the same time that my Denver Nuggets fell out. You guys, Your pastors gave me a Denver Nuggets blanket in my place where them stay. They're treating me like royalty. Now, you want to know an interesting piece of trivia? Okay, no, you don't care enough. If you really wanted to know, because I told you, they asked me yesterday, I said it might come out in the sermon. Okay, all right. My professional sports background. Okay, so true story. They gave me a Denver Nuggets blanket. The very first year, I was about 23 years old. The very first year that they were a team, I played for the Miami Heat. Yes, I did. No lie. It was a good band. I was the saxophonist. It's the truth. It's the truth. I played for the Miami Heat basketball band. Praise the Lord. And I promise you I could have done as good as some of the team was so bad. But anyhow, we got to get people in the environment that they're comfortable in, and then we can get them to respond. Well, it should be an issue, or it should be cause for, hey, let's correct this. If when we get in God's environment, a spiritual environment, then we aren't comfortable. How many have ever tried to step into a pool of water and you put your toe in the pool of water and you said, oh, no, ain't going to happen today. Not is because why? It's too cold. It's too cold. How many, you remember Goldilocks, right? You remember the story of Goldilocks? Mama Bear's porridge was too cold. Papa Bear's porridge was too hot. How did Goldilocks have to have it? She always had to have it just right. See, don't be a Goldilocks Christian where, oh, the pastor preached too long today. Somebody else thinks it's too short. What's a Goldilocks Christian? Everything has to be? It's got to be just right. Well, I don't know. Did you think the music was too loud? Praise the Lord. There's a revelation. I know you may still be wondering, what do I think of this guy? What did I tell you think of me? You like me. That's the answer. That's the answer. Praise the Lord. There's hallelujah. I was going to say something really good right there. It's coming to me. Yes, it's this. There's a revelation that we need to get. God doesn't care if you're comfortable. Because, okay, so you get back to the pool of cold water. What do we do to help a person that's struggling with the temperature of the water? There's something we do to help that person. We come up behind them and we just throw them in. Because we know if we can get them in that environment, they will acclimate, right? And they'll like it. We know they'll like, I know you'll like the water if we can get you in the water. But I got to get you in. We got to get you in. And if we get you in, we know you're going to like it. And so during praise and worship, you know, the sister's up here. And sometimes she'll say, come on, why don't we enter in, or, you know, different ones will say things like that. So can we enter into the presence of God? What are they trying to do? They're trying to get us to respond. Trying to get us to respond to the fact that God is personally present and wants to engage with you. Hello, are we here today? God is personally present and he wants to get in the seat with you. And he wants to have some back, and he wants to have some interaction. And he wants you to leave changed by his glory. Wants you to leave changed by his presence. And I get it if you're not used to that kind of thing. That's why people have to prod you a little bit. Say, well, can we praise the Lord? You know, the pastor should never have to stand up here and say, can I get an amen? He's not an auctioneer. Who'll give me an amen? Who'll give me to him? He's not, it's not a cattle auction, right? should never have to ask. The worship leader should never have to be a worship extractor, where I'm going to pull a praise out of the congregation. Can somebody please praise the Lord today? Can you lift your voice and, right? We got to get, but they do that, and we'll do that to endeavor to get you into this environment where you actually start forgetting about you. And you start getting past the part of you that would say, that's dumb, don't do that. We want to get you past the part of you that will say, why do people have to do that so loud? And then before you realize it, you're actually doing that. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, feel guilty, feel, you understand, we're loving on you today. But what we want to do is we want to leave here, everybody, want to leave here higher. Amen. In a better place. Glory to God. And so what we need to do is learn to acclimate to God's presence. Right? And the Bible is actually full of encouragements along these lines and full of instruction, things to do. How many ever read Psalm 100? You ever read Psalm 100? Yes. Okay, what's it say? Y'all nodding your head. What's it say? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Well, go to Psalm 100. This is not what I thought we'd do today. This is different. Praise the Lord. God's helping us, isn't he? Yes. Hallelujah. All right, then. Psalm 100, y'all, it says this. It says, make a joyful noise. A joyful noise. That's what we did at the Bills games. Huh? That's what that was. That was a joyful noise. We would scream. The receiver would catch the ball. He's on his way. You could see he's going to get there. But you could see somebody's closing in on him. So what do you start doing? Go, 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 go. Go. I do it to the television. Now we don't live in Buffalo anymore. They were so bad when we were there, but you know, you want to be loyal. My wife grew up there in Buffalo, so we moved to Colorado. God directed us to go to Colorado instead, and we thought, well, we're still going to be Bills fans. But we went to Colorado, and that year the Denver Broncos, thank God somebody's responding. Amen. The Denver Broncos got a quarterback named Peyton Manning, and they're winning. I'm like, these guys win all their games. Forget them. We're going to go with who wins. Amen. So I'll sit there and I'll shout at the television. Go, 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 go. I know they can't hear me, but I just feel like that helps me engage. You know what I'm saying? Make a joyful noise. So, I mean, when I was at those football games, when I go to those football games, many were the times where I would come to myself in the arms and in the embrace of somebody who I did not know. Happened all the time. All the time. I mean, you're sitting there, you're high-fiving people, and I mean, if something really good happens, I mean, you're hugging somebody, and then you got to look and see who it is. Yeah. Amen. Great way to meet people. Praise the Lord. So make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Yeah. Noise. Noise. You don't have to have a lot of skill to do this. No. You don't have to have a music degree to do this. I could do this before I went to music school. I can do this after I went to music school. Just make a joyful noise. Praise the Lord. I'm just not a noisy person. I'm not comfortable. What did I already tell you about comfort? God don't care. Can I give you another piece of revelation? I don't care either if you're comfortable. I love you. No, really, I do. I really do. But I don't care if you're comfortable. You know what we gave you? We gave you a comfortable chair. We gave you comfortable lighting. We gave you comfortable temperature. That's all. That's all you get. Nobody cares if you're comfortable participating or not. No one's going to force you to, right? Church is voluntary. You don't have to be here. Amen. But I'll tell you, there is value in these things. There is value in these things. that many have not recognized, many haven't realized, there's benefit. I said there's benefit. There's benefit to being all in during praise and worship. You know what I mean by all in? Hmm? Can you be here and be disengaged? You could have two people in this service today. Again, I'm not looking at anybody particular. You can have two people in the service, one be completely engaged and the other be present. That's two different things. There's something that you and I need to connect to, someone that we need to connect to. There's a what we call a spiritual flow that's taking place when we come to a service. Amen. And if we will participate in that flow, woo, there will be benefit that comes back. So let's read the verse. I mean, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Huh? What's this? Did I read it wrong? Pastor gave me the reverse standard version here. So. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, right? Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And only do this if you're comfortable. Huh? Anything about being comfortable? No. If you'll get in, if you'll just get in, and if we have to throw you in, we'll throw you in. You know what I'm talking about? But if we can just get you into the God environment, if we can just get you into the God pool, it may shock you at first, but you will acclimate and you will realize, oh, this is the realm in which I actually want to give expression. See, if you're born again, you are a spirit being. Amen. And really, we have to get better at being who we are. We have to get better at being spirits. Right? And so just like physical beings want to give expression when a good play happens on the football game or whatever, when you get that new car, whatever it is that makes you happy, happy, happy. You want to give expression to it. In the same way, there's part of you, the real you, that desperately desires to give full expression to the things of God. Amen. There's something in you that wants to say, all glory to God. There's something in you that wants to say, praise the Lord. And what is that? That's actually a response to something that you're receiving. You sing a song and there's so much truth in the songs that they were singing. And I mean, it should elicit a response. You know, in the medical community, I'm not trained at all in anything medically. Just so you know, science was not my subject, nor was English, math, or history. Music, yes. Praise the Lord. But I do know this about the medical community. Unresponsive is really a bad thing, right? How's our patient today? Unresponsive. That's bad. That's bad to be unresponsive. Why? Why is that so bad? Because you're either dead or acting like it, right? Or close to it. I'm going to know it's just as bad. How was church today? How is the congregation, Pastor? Unresponsive. That's not good. Why are we okay with it in church, but we're not okay with it? Huh? Why are we not okay with it on the side of the road? Oh, they're unresponsive. They'll be okay. People are unresponsive. No, that's not you. You're like code red. You start setting off sirens. You start calling 911, all that. Come on. Why? Because unresponsive. And we get used to it. I understand, not here. I know not at this church. Nobody at this church would be unresponsive. But I told you, Pasadena, other places. those other towns, those Christians. That's serious. That's seriously not good. That's what my first church was. Unresponsive. Oh my God, somebody raised their hands and everybody would stare. Or somebody walks in the door. But somebody walks in. Oh, there's one now. Look. Somebody walked in the door. And everybody looks. Who is it? A person. A person's walking. And we follow them all the way with our eyes. We follow them all the way. Why? Why? A person walked in the door. Wow. What? See, why do we do that? Why do we do that? We're not engaged. We're not aware enough of what's happening spiritually. So anytime something happens physically, we're pulled away. A person. I've heard of these people. But now my eyes behold one. I've seen a person today. Did you see the person that walked in? Right? But I don't do that. Listen, when I'm focused on that football game, there's people moving all over. I ain't looking. You ain't getting my attention off of what's happening because I don't want to miss a play. I don't want to miss a play. Don't bother me now, wife. Don't talk to me now. Don't talk to me now. If it can, is the house on fire? No, no. Is there flood? Fire, flood, or blood? None of those? Then now's not the time. Why? I'm focused. I don't want to miss a play. But you get folk in the spiritual realm. You get them in church. Anything that happens. Oh, there was a misspelling on the... Another person. Wow. That's two. Who is it? You're missing. When you do that. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that with the game? Why? I can't miss a play. Come on, focus. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Folk will sit in a service like this. They'll be thinking of everything they have to do afterwards. Huh? They'll be making a list. Bananas, oranges, sweet potatoes, regular potatoes. Do we want sweet potatoes? Missing, totally missing the fact that God's trying to deliver something to their life, but he can't do it if they won't connect. If you're disconnected and distracted, well, I'm just not into it. I know. That's what we're talking about. Not you, but you know, others, Christians. Yeah. Easily distracted. Galveston. That's where they do this. They're pulled away because they haven't learned how to connect and receive from that realm. So what can we do to fix this? What can we do to right the ship? One of the things that we have to do is learn to become more aware of God in us and among us. More aware of God. We have to become God aware. Do you know that when you received Jesus, when you were born again, how many here you were born again? You were, that's like half the crowd at least. That's good. No, that was almost everybody. Should be. When you were born again, God came to indwell you. God lives in you. He said, I'll live in them. I'll dwell in them. I'll be their father. They'll be my children. And he said, come out from among the world. Be separate. Be separate. Why is God in you? Is he a hitchhiker? Just looking for a ride? Huh? What's he doing there? He's in there to do in you all that he does. He's in you to be in you all that he is. Amen. But isn't it easy? I'm preaching to me now. Isn't it easy to act as though he's not even in there? Can't you go for long periods of time and have no interaction with the being that's actually in you? You might say, what's your point today, Brother Joel? I don't know what my point is. I haven't gotten to it yet. When I get there, I'll tell you this is my point. Amen. You getting the point? All right, there has been a point. He's in us. We have to develop this awareness, of him. I'm going to raise your hand if you're here and you're married. You're married. That's a lot of people. That's good. Is it possible to be unaware of your spouse? You're like, not my spouse. She don't give me five and nine. She don't let me be unaware. But how many know you can develop this thing called familiarity, right? You can, you've been married long enough, right? If you've been married, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, whatever it is. My wife and I have been married, what's today, 2025. So this December will be 34 years for us. So how long for you guys? 40, man. Wonderful. Praise God. So, but after 41 years, after 34 years, you can get to where, if you allow yourself, you can get to where, oh, well, that's just them, right? And you can get to where their presence doesn't mean anything to you. Now, if that's you, you probably haven't made it to 41 years because you probably killed the marriage before that, right? You can kill a marriage by doing this, by not treating each other special. Well, because how many know you didn't get married? You didn't get to the altar by doing that, right? You got to the altar by doing the opposite, right? They got your attention. They kept your attention. And at some point you said, I think I want this. And I think I want this forever. Right? But if you don't, this is what the Bible calls, Jesus said, he called this doing the first works. Right? Remember over in the book of Revelation, in case I didn't give you enough scripture today. Remember in the book of Revelation, in the third chapter, Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea. And he said, okay, well, we have problems, church. He said, because I would rather that you be hot or cold. But what did he say they were? He said, because you're lukewarm, because you're, what does lukewarm mean? You acclimated to what was around you, right? The temperature just became, we call it room temperature. Because you're room temperature, said, I want to spew you out of my mouth, meaning you make me want to puke. Right? That's what he said. It's disgusting to me that you've allowed yourself to get, he said, I'd rather you be cold. I'd rather you at least know that you're not where you need to be. But when you acclimate and to room and become room temperature, you think everything is fine. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, it is sickening to me because of all I've done for you, because of my heart for you, for you to have this standoffish attitude toward me where you stop pursuing me like you used to pursue me. And now I'm just, well, we go to church. At least twice a month we go to church. No, down Galveston they do. They do. At least twice a month we go to church. That's gross to him. That's not good. That's not good. He wants us. He said, I'd rather you be hot. Hot. So how many understand in a marriage, if you want your marriage to last, You have to learn to keep it hot. You dismiss the kids already? I'm gonna keep it rated G. Hello. But you got to keep that marriage. You have to keep doing the first works, right? And part of that is you're aware of each other. You're aware of each other. You're not living in your own world. Can I help your married people here today? Can I help y'all? And by the way, I'm preaching to me. It is not a date with your spouse if you are both at a table, both looking at your phones the whole time. That didn't get you to the altar. Huh? That's the modern version of two people having a newspaper open. That's what it used to be, having the newspaper open. And we call that quality time with each other. That's not quality time with each other. That's being present, but unaware. So how do you know if you're aware? How do you know in a marriage if you're aware? Well, there's going to be some interaction. There's going to be some interaction. I have to do it. I have to discipline myself. We go out to most of the time. If my wife and I date with the other day, Friday, because I was leaving. So I went out with her to the shopping mall. I did it to be a husband. Because I'm flying home tomorrow, but she flies out tomorrow before I get home for a trip that she's going on. So I'm not going to see her for a week. So we went out and she picked a place that we'd never been to this place for lunch. So we picked this place and I set my phone. I took my glasses off, put my phone upside down, set my glasses on them because I'll just start looking at email, start looking at business. But this is my wife. This is my wife. And yeah, we've been married going on 34 years, but I can't afford to let my marriage deteriorate. I can't afford that. If I lose my marriage, then my ministry becomes meaningless. You understand that? You might say, well, it doesn't mean you're losing. No, no, no. If my marriage is not what God intended it to be, which is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church, then I become irrelevant. My words don't matter. Listen, I know it's time to probably be wrapping this up. So I am. So I've got to keep things hot by doing the first works. When we first met, it wasn't newspapers in front of me. We weren't reading stuff. When we sat across from each other, it was engaging with her. It was a relationship, right? We were developing it, and we almost didn't make it to the altar. Listen, I'm telling you, I had issues, and I remember one time, she starts crying, oh Jesus, because I didn't know how to control. You know, when you're insecure, and I was, man, I was. You look up the word insecurity. It would have been my picture. I was so insecure as a young man. Got saved, thank God for that, you know, but I would hide behind a sharp tongue. And I would, you know, insecure people are always trying to take other people down. And I said something sharp to her. We were dating. We were at the Olive Garden. That's why I don't go there much today. And we were engaged. And I said something, you know, she said something and I threw a zinger back at her and she didn't say anything, but then tears started rolling down her face and go, oh my God, I've never seen this before. I have never seen this before. What's going on? And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I don't think I can do this. I said, do what? The Alfredo? She said, no, marriage with you. Oh, Jesus. She said, I grew up around sarcasm like that. She said, I grew up watching my relatives just tear into each other. She said, I don't think I want that. I said, how about I never do it again in my life? She said, well, that would be great. And I don't. Yeah, you have to keep things, right? So anyhow. So when my wife's around, I have an awareness of her presence. I have an esteem for her. And I also am responsive to her. Yay. We interact. It needs to be the same with God. It needs to be the same with God. And you know, when you interact with your spouse like that kind of quality interaction, there are things that happen. There's transmission that happens. How much detail do you want? Come on now. How many knows? I made this doctrine up, by the way. It's a little doctrine I have called laying on of lips. Have you ever heard of it? You've heard of laying on of hands. There's laying on of lips. I only practice this with my wife, so don't ask me for any demonstrations here today. How many know you can kiss your auntie on the cheek? But only married people know what I'm talking about here, I hope. So there's also a kind of kiss that transmits something, right? That says, without words, it says something. Spiritually, God wants us to engage with Him to where we have an awareness of His presence and that we are continually responsive to His presence. If I'm on a trip with my wife, and we are never in a car for 6 hours. We live in Denver. There's nothing like, unless I'm preaching in state, I'm flying. We don't drive long trips because we're pretty isolated where we are. It's just everything's long and it's quicker to fly. So, but if I was with my wife in a car for 6 hours and I did not say anything to her for 6 hours, you know what that means? We're mad at each other. That's bad. That's a problem. Why is it okay to go 6 hours without interacting at all with the one who lives inside you? How is that normal? Or is this whole thing with God just pretend? Huh? Is He in there? What's He in there to do? Everything that He is, everything that He does, He wants to be to you all that He is. But if you won't develop an awareness and a responsiveness to His presence, then He can want to do all of that, but you experience none of that. So we have to get to the place, talking to me this morning, in closing, if I say that, will you feel better? In closing. We have to get to the place where we don't let 10 minutes go by without, thank you, Father. It doesn't have to be loud all the time, right? It can be, thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Just all the time giving expression to the one who lives on the inside of you. And when you respond to Him, the Bible calls that drawing near over in James chapter 4. Bible says, if you draw near to me, what's it say will happen? I'll draw near to you. If we got a married couple up here, had the husband stand over there, the wife stand over there, and they kept taking steps to each other, drawing near, eventually they're going to run out of steps and they're going to be one. Jesus said, Father, I pray for them that they may be one, even as we are one. He actually invites us into the Godhead. But one of the first things we need to do to experience what He prayed is just start living in His presence every day, all the time. Amen. Amen. Realizing that He is literally on the inside of you, just like your child's in the car seat, just right. The child's in the car seat. That child will not let you go for 15 minutes without interacting. Huh? We're on a trip, 3 minutes in. Are we there yet? Huh? You're like, oh my God. You don't do that, just like you don't let 6 hours go by, right, with your wife sitting next to you and not say a word. We don't let that time go by. We're constantly Some have called it practicing his presence. We're constantly interacting with him. And then when we come together, oh my gosh, then nobody has to say, can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Would you praise the Lord? Would you praise him? Can somebody praise him today? Can anybody give the Lord a shout today? No. Let me tell you what the job of the worship leader is. Should be. Instead of yanking the praise out, it should be to get you to shut up. When it's time for the service to go another direction. That's really what the job of the praise and worship is, to get you to, okay. Now pastor's going to come. Really, we got to sit down. And people start sitting down. And somebody goes, oh, glory to God. Woo! Hey! So I just woke some folk up. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to. My name's Joel Siegel. I'll be back tonight. Thank you very much. I think I am.
That's it?
I don't know.
Just getting warmed up, man.
Maybe. I'm done for the moment.
You're done for the moment?
Yeah. You got it, man. Do everything.
I thought that was a joke, the part about being done until tonight. I mean, I'm just getting really into this. This is really good. Amen. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. Isn't there a quote where he said, I never pray more than 10 minutes at a time, but I never go for more than 10 minutes without praying. Right? Something like that. Is it legit? Yeah. That's what I thought of as you were ministering the word today. And, you know, it dawned on me. I crawled into bed the other night. We were very, very busy with a number of things this week, getting ready for Reverend Joel's arrival. And, you know, it's always motivating. It's always good shot in the arm to have guests come to your house, right? get you on your high point as far as getting things fixed around the house and things, you know, stuff you never mind. Anyways, so, you know, we're just busy. And I crawled in bed the other night and I realized, I thought, it just like a grief in my soul. I've gone it felt like the whole day without really stopping and acknowledging God. Yeah, that's a terrible thing. You know, for all he does for us, for his goodness to us, his care. And just because he's God and he's just waiting, as you said, is anybody out there? Does anybody out there, will anybody stop and give me 5 minutes and praise me? Love me. Tell me how good I am. He's deserving of that. Amen. Most worthy. Most worthy. Praise the Lord. Well, what do you think? Okay. Stop. Be like the praise and worship. You think we'll have him back tonight? Oh yeah, he's a keeper, isn't he? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. I haven't forgot. Thank you, Rose. Can we just lift our hands to God for a moment? And let's just pause and give him thanks for who he is. Right now in this moment. Needs are being met in here. You may have come to church. You know, I taught Wednesday night. I said, beware of unmet expectations. You may have thought Reverend Joel was going to go one direction today. Man, he just followed the Holy Spirit. But God's speaking to you right now. God's touching you right now. God is aligning things in you and myself. Praise the Lord. Let's give him thanks for that. Father, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord, today. We bless you. We're here to pause and have a praise moment. The great physician, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, and you've aligned us today. Lord, there were things out of line that we didn't even realize, and now you've come. And so gently by your Holy Spirit, you've aligned our lives, aligned our spirits once again to love you. As you said, to be restored to our first love. Thank you, Lord. You're so good, so good. Just tell him how good he is right now, church. Come on. Thank you, Lord. You don't leave us on our own. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're a relational God. And you don't just leave us out in the cold. You don't leave us unconnected. But life is in connection with you. Thank you, Lord, for that life that we have as we abide in the vine. Abiding in you, Jesus. Jesus. So good. So good. He's a living God. Amen, church? He's a living God. He wants to have a living, breathing relationship with us. That's what we're being provoked into today. We're being nudged by the Holy Ghost into a living relationship with him. not just today, because it's Sunday and because you're here in the house, but Monday through Saturday as well. Amen. Monday through Sunday. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How good you are. Come on, tell him how good he is today. How good you are. How good you are. How good you are. Wonderful God. Marvelous God. Loving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless your name. How good you are. How good you are. How good you are. How good you are, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, you care for us. So lovingly. So lovingly. Praise the Lord. Well, he's good. You can be seated for another moment. You have anything else on your heart, Reverend Joel, for the moment? Okay. Well, you wave me down. Now we tag team here. We want to go round two, round three. Are you enjoying today? This is going to come a day when you'll come to church and you'll be like, give us more. I feel that way. I feel that way today. I mean, I don't really have anything pressing me. I could just turn the mic back over to Reverend Joel. Once we get these air conditioners just right, it's a little chilly right now, but we just get the room temperature just right. I could sit here for hours and hours more. Why? Because God is good. And the word has been good. It's been rich today. Amen. Have you been blessed? Well, let me just say this real quick. If you're a first-time guest with us today, you should have received a visitor's card on the way in. If you did not, would you lift your hand real high right now? We'd just like to tell you thanks. We want to acknowledge you. Thank you for coming in today. I got visitor's cards, guys, for these gentlemen here on the front. Yes, thank you. And anybody else, first-time guests, we just want to honor you today. Thank you for coming out to worship. In just a moment, when we receive today's offering, we want you to fill that card out for us. Please drop that in the offering bucket, and that'll just let us know who you are. We appreciate you coming out today. And we got a wonderful church here, people that love one another and will care for you. This is a good place for you to plant yourself. The Bible says in Psalm 92, I believe it is, that those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Amen. And this is a good place for you to flourish. If you don't have a church of your own, we welcome you to pray about being a part of Believers Fellowship. And we'll just be a blessing to you. You'll be a blessing to us. It's mutual. Amen. So we welcome all our guests. Thank you for coming out. We're going to receive today's offering. If you're giving by cash or check, raise your hand real high, and the ushers will get those offering envelopes to you at this time. Praise the Lord. You can also give electronically like you see on the board here behind me. If you're making out checks, just make out your check to Believers Fellowship, and we'll give one check to Reverend Joel at the end of the weekend if we like him. But we really like him. I'm just teasing. Now, we're gonna bless him good. Amen. This is a ministry we want to sow into. I believe God's getting ready to just accelerate this man's ministry and just grow it bigger and bigger and bigger in the earth. Amen. How many of you know God? That's what God has for all of us, to just move us into greatness. Amen. And Jesus. And so we're going to be a part of sowing into that. So give generously today. Amen. Just ask the Lord, ask the Holy Ghost what he would have you give, and then we'll just bless him real good at the end of the weekend. Send him off with a bang. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you, Jesus, that you're so good to us. You love us. You won't leave us alone. And we like that. We like that, Holy Ghost, that you are pursuing us as a lover, and that you won't let us be cold or religious in our relationship with you. You want us to thrive in living with you. We want you to be our God, and you can call us your people. We will be your people. Thank you, Father. Bless this offering today, Lord. I speak a blessing to it, blessing on those who are given by faith and trusting you, Lord. I thank you that according to your promise, the windows of heaven are opening above these lives. Every home represented here today, their finances, Lord, not just their finances, but every area of their life, their relationships, their understanding of the Word of God, their health, every part of their being is being blessed by the open window of heaven above their life today as they give in faith to you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give today. Hey, we've got one quick announcement. Next Sunday, the 29th, we have a big youth event. So this is ages... Oh, go back. Ages... It doesn't say. 12 to 18. That's right. Junior high to high school. So see Brother Ben And Sister Audrey, I think Ben's in the back today. Audrey's with her mom today with the passing of Lee. So, but see Ben or Audrey, or just catch Pastor, my wife or myself, if you have any questions on that. If you have grandkids that don't go to church here, bring them out to this event, right? Amen. You grandparents, get them here. They'll be blessed. They'll have a good time. Amen. And then we also have a shower coming up. I forgot about the shower. Yes, that is next. That's also next Sunday. Big time for Joanna and Jake having their baby. Praise the Lord. We're really excited about one of our newer members. Praise God. So it'll be a good time. Amen. Let's stand together. Man, I just don't want to go. I want to hear more. How about you? Well, I'll tell you what. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and you will. Amen? Bring a friend. Bring somebody who's cold and about to be spewed out of Jesus' mouth so they can get red hot for him tonight. Amen? Bring them here tonight. We'll get them turned on for Jesus and living in this relationship like God wants us to. Amen? Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your outpouring, Holy Ghost. And we just thank you that we are changed forever by the word. Lord, let us be good soil today and produce what you desired from this word 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give somebody a big hug or a handshake on the way out. Be blessed in Jesus' name.